Well, let's open our Bibles to John 3:16, if you're not already there. And let's read in verses 14 through 18 today and read out loud. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And let's turn over to John chapter 15 as we start this lesson, or a few lessons. You know, I was sharing this in Nanuet as you're going there. The church's website doesn't really have anything to do necessarily with this lesson, but in some ways it does. The church's website, and I look at information, statistical information on the website. Who's accessing, from where, what countries, what cities, what IP addresses, where they're coming from, all of that. I look at, you know, different types of information. And it is exploding exponentially. The countries that are accessing, it's just for me sometimes I look and have been looking for months going, how does all this happen? I mean, what is this? I mean, significant amounts of accesses from China, Russia, India, Ukraine. I mean, you just go right down the list of countries, the islands in the West Indies. You've got Switzerland, Germany's pounding it. And just other countries. And this isn't just looking at information. This is literally downloading audio material and different types of material, because I can look at what's called a log server, and I can look at an IP address and see everything that they did. I can see they came in here, they did this, they hit 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 this, and they did this, and they did this, and they did this. So I can look at that IP address and look at exactly what they did. And it's interesting to see what people are doing, and it's interesting to see where where people are coming from. And so it's beginning to... what's ringing in me is that God is going to bring to pass exactly things that he has prophesied over this ministry. And even though, you know, Pastor Clinton got words that this is the spirit center for the nations, and he's not here, he's in heaven, God is going to bring it to pass. Because if God spoke it, if he spoke something through you, it really doesn't matter whether you stay here on this earth or not. You could move on to another assignment. You could move from earth to heaven. But God is going to bring to pass, just like he prophesied through the prophets for hundreds of years before Jesus was born. It came to pass, just exactly as they prophesied. And the same thing is going to happen here, that things are happening, and it's not on any one man's doing. It's God's grace that's upon the ministry. And so that's one of the things that I always keep in mind, that it's not your doing. You'd be a fool to think that it is. It's God's doing. And He's the one that's drawing people. He's the one that's, however this fabric has happened and how people make divine connections to get the information that God wants them to have, He's doing it, and He gets the glory out of it. So any church, any business, any individual who prospers and is doing something that is flourishing and bearing fruit, it's not you. Yeah, you're doing it, but it's God's grace upon you that is giving you the insight and the ability and the strength and the knowledge and the wherewithal to do it. And we never should forget that. Like, we wake up one morning and say, boy, I'm all that. No, you ain't all that. You never were all that. He's awesome. He's a great God. He's the one that gets the glory. It's His ability, and it's His life. And I think that what I'm trying to say is, when we go to John 15, it says, I am the true vine. He's the vine. I'm just the branch. He's the vine. And it's His life and His ability and His strength that gives me the ability to do anything. Because that's what it says. Number 5, verse 5 in John 15, it says, for without me, you can do nothing. That's it right there. I can't do anything without His help. With His ability, without His anointing, without His grace, I can't do a thing. And so, in this it says, I am the true vine. And who's speaking here? Who's speaking? Jesus is speaking, right? So who's the vine? Who's the vine? Okay, you sure? Are you not sure? Huh?
We have branches.
Right. Who's the vine?
Jesus.
Okay, I guess some folks... I'm not sure. Who's the vine?
Jesus.
Okay, good. All right. Some are like, I'm not sure. Who's the vine? It's Jesus. And then what? And my Father is the what? The husbandman. He's the gardener. He's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. Boy, I like that. Now ye are clean, how? Through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And we're sharing some thoughts on the area of healing. So here, one way that healing is definitely manifested in the body is staying connected to the vine. Because you cannot have a healthy vine and a sick branch. It doesn't work that way. So if there's a healthy vine and I stay connected, there's going to be a healthy branch. Has to be. Can't be a sick branch and a healthy vine. And we don't have a sick vine. So one thing that I like about this particular scripture verse is that if we have, and this is here when it says, and every branch that beareth fruit, he does what? He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So if you've brought forth fruit in the area of healing, if you stay connected to the vine, he's going to do what? Purge, clean, transform through what? The Word of God, so that you can do what? Bring forth more fruit. So if you've reached a place where you've said, okay, I've believed for this, and I'm still working out this, he's going to do what? It's his, the gardener's responsibility to prune, to trim, to clean, to purge, so you can do what? Bring forth more fruit. And that's exactly, there's a, this is the Bible in basic English translation. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He takes away every branch in me which has no fruit, and every branch which has fruit, he makes clean, so that it may bring forth or may have more fruit. Now, this is what I like. You are clean even now through the teaching which I have given you. So it's the teaching of God's Word. It's the Word of God that's going to do what? As Romans 12:2 says, transform, change our thinking and our mind. It's going to cause us to see things differently, and to once that we see it differently, then we believe differently. We can begin to start taking and walking in a higher level of faith in areas that we hadn't before. See, I might be struggling down here at a different level. I may be working the Word in one area, but if I need to come up another level in an area, I may not even be that you're struggling. You just may say, you know what, I can't believe for that. I don't have faith for that. Well, it's his responsibility to cause you to come up a little higher, to reveal God's Word. And what does it say? Faith without works. So once you see it, what are you supposed to do? Act on it. So once you see something, it doesn't mean, glory to God, that's exciting, and then you just sit there. You know what? That's not going to work. Faith without works is dead. So once you see something in the Word of God that you can attain, that you can reach and stretch just a little bit further, you need to do that. Because if you don't, it'll wither and die. Faith without works is dead. Just having faith without action is dead. So once we see something, and somebody shared something with me, the Lord is giving them some words and some things. And the Lord said this to this person, that God is going to hold us all accountable, because we know this, for everything that we've been exposed to teaching-wise lately. We're going to have to prove what we're hearing. We're going to be responsible to prove it. So once we're exposed to it, we're going to be responsible to prove it and walk in it. Because there's a reason why God is exposing and sharing this with us. There's a reason that hasn't yet unfolded, but when it comes, it's almost like one in the scripture when it talks about the 10 virgins and the 10 foolish ones, and they say, well, we didn't buy enough oil. Too late. When the master comes, it's too late. So when things begin to develop where you need to have your faith developed in a particular area, it can sometimes be too late because we haven't been developing our faith, which means when I see something, I need to exercise. When I hear something and I see, you know what? Okay, God, you said that I can believe for my finances. You said that nothing will be withheld from me to those who walk upright before you. You said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You said, what things soever I desire when I pray, believe that I receive them. So now, when we look to the government for our support, when we look to, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't receive what's due you. I'm not saying that. So don't get it mixed up, muddied up. I'm not saying that you shouldn't get a Social Security payment if you've paid into it. I didn't say that. Just don't depend on it. And don't look to it as your source. Because if it goes away, you're going to be back doing this. God, I need help. I need some money. I need some help. Yeah, you should have been doing that first. He's your provider. He's your protector. Not God. I mean, not the government. Now, yes, his anointing sits and rests upon those who've been placed in authority, and they are ministers for our protection. The Bible does say that. But you better look to God for your source and your protection and your sustenance, because times are not going to get any better. And as we can see, things are wrapping up closer to Jesus' return. And we need to be developing our faith so that we can do what? In this case here, when it says he purges us, now you're clean to the word. Well, it says here, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it so that it may bring forth more fruit. So the whole purpose of being transformed and exposed to the Word of God is not just to come and shout hallelujah. See, the bigger purpose is that we bring forth more fruit, that we're more productive, that we are able to do more in the kingdom of God for God. That is the purpose. And so I always want to keep that in mind, is like, okay, God, why are you showing this to me? I have an assignment for you. It's not just for holy goosebumps and shout. And, you know, we do shout and we get excited, but at the end of the day, it's about reaching out further and doing more for God. And we need to exercise our faith once we see it. And here's another scripture verse. Let's look at this scripture verse, James 1:17. James chapter 1 and verse 17. It says, every good gift, would healing be a good gift? Yes, it is. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? Above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So if he calls us healed, if he says Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, that doesn't change. He is without variableness or shadow of turning. And healing is ours. We have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Let's back up and let's look at that. Let our eyes read that. Galatians 3:13. It says, Christ hath redeemed us, or you could say it personally, hath redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, or you could put in there me, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. I'm going to read some things next week that Brother Hagin wrote in a book he penned called I Believe in Visions. And he makes a comment in there that everything that we do, regardless of what type of special anointings or special giftings that we have, everything that we do must be done by faith. And if it's not done by faith, it won't come about unless God just divinely does something on your behalf. Everything must be done by faith. So even though you've been given a special anointing, and Brother Hagin shares in this book how God appeared to him, put the fingers, his finger in the palm of each one of his hands, and gave him a special anointing to lay hands upon the sick. And he shares in that book how he got over into doubt and unbelief in a particular instance, and it didn't work, even though he was specially gifted and anointed. He got over into doubt and unbelief a month after Jesus appeared to him. And it didn't work. And Jesus said to him, everything that you do must be done by faith. Even though you do have a special anointing, has to operate by faith. So where we are, the thing that has become very, it was very clear in studying these lessons. Let's go back to John 15 just for a moment. Hold your finger, put your finger there, and go and keep your finger there, John 15. And I want you to go over to Ephesians chapter 1. And hold your finger there. And this was very, very clear to me, and I believe it'll be clear to you as we walk through this lesson. When it talks about, I am the vine and ye are the branch, and the life is in the vine. The life is in the vine. Now that life is whose life? God's life. And when you go and you read John 10:10, which we did before, it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they may have what? They might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. That word life is Zoe. It's the divine life of God. So when we look at that, and we look at Ephesians chapter 1, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, colon. And I always like to stop and say colon, because when there's a colon, that means there's something to follow. That pertains to what was just said. So we have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, and because of that, these things are going to be following. What? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And look at this. And I always like to say, and you may know. Because you could do that. You could say here, and you may know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Where? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. That could be sickness. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, when you look at Zoe, which is the life of God, this is very clear that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That wisdom and revelation comes out of what? The life of God. The more life that you have, the more wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him you're going to have. Is that not true? Oh, absolutely. Did Jesus walk with the Spirit without measure? Yeah, he did. Now, collectively, the body of Christ has the Spirit without measure, collectively. Now, no one individual will walk as Jesus walked with the Spirit without measure, but we can increase and grow and expand in wisdom and revelation, in the knowledge of him. And that is going to come through being connected to the vine. And as we stay connected, and as we bring forth fruit, and as he purges us and cleans us, how? Through receiving the word. Romans 12:2 says we're going to be transformed into his very image and likeness. So we're going to increase in wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And as you can see here, what is that? How does that translate? The eyes of my understanding are going to be enlightened. I'm going to know what to do in this earth. I'm going to know how to conduct my business. I'm going to know how to run my family. I'm going to know how to raise my children. I'm going to know how to eat and exercise and treat this body right. I'm going to know how. How? Through the Word of God, which is going to give me increased wisdom and revelation in Him. And that is from being connected to the vine. And to me, that's exciting. Because if I stay connected to the vine and I increase in wisdom and revelation and his life, it has to push sickness out. It can't stay in me. It can't stay. The life of God begins to increase and flow in me. And of course, I believe you heard, I shared some lessons or a lesson last year. Some lessons on walking in the light. And years ago, back in the 30s, there's an account of a tribe in Rwanda that became, they called them the Shining Ones. And you can go out on the internet, you can search for it, you can look up the Shining Ones. You can look it up and you can read the account on it. But they began to literally, now these are people that were a tribal people. They were in Rwanda. They began to, in the 30s, they called them the Shining Ones. And this didn't happen over 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year, 5 years. This happened over a period of 30 years. So this was a transformation that happened. These people began to literally be transfigured like Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. They began to shine, literally shine. Their skin shined. Now, I don't know what that looks like, but they began to literally be transfigured. And this happened, and what happened was, in the 80s, this young man came to the United States, searched out this man, and said, I'm the son of one of these men that were the leaders of this group. And his father, you know, when they started to have some uprisings in Rwanda, they all went over into Uganda, which was all under Idi Amin, and there was atrocities and all of that, so a lot of them were killed and so forth in that setting. But he began to share how it happened. And then he asked this man to come back to Rwanda and to do some meetings, and he said they went to the same village, and in this village there was a man still alive that was one of the people that was part of this group. And he said, when you looked at him, he looked like he's in his 50s. He was so young looking because of the life of God in him. But he said the one key thing that they did was that they got sin out of their life. He said that was the key. And when he talked about that, that's what happens when we stay connected to the vine. God begins to reveal in us, don't do that anymore. Don't say that anymore. Don't get involved in that anymore. And we begin to change. We begin to transform, not God. He begins to reveal in us. See, that's what happens here. That when the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him begins to be unfolded, we begin to go, I can't do that anymore. I can't go over there anymore. I'm the one being transformed. This didn't happen over 5 years. It happened over 30 years that they began to change and transform little by little, little by little, little by little. And that can happen. And did happen. They have a written account of it. And so I believe that in that setting, when we get so full of the life of God, that sickness and those things that are challenging us, they won't challenge us. We'll know exactly what to do. We'll know what to say. We will walk in the life of God. And it is doable. And because otherwise, for God to say in His Word, if My Word abides in you, you can ask what you will, and I will do it, that means it is doable. Otherwise, He was lying, and He's not a liar. So those things are doable. Let's turn over to, let's back over into John again, John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And 63, verse 63. It says, we know this scripture. It says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. That word life is Zoe. It's the life of God. If you go over to, flip forward a little bit to Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. Says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, say much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. We're saved by His life, which is Zoe. That word life is Zoe. So if we can be saved by His life, If you look up that word saved, it also means healed, provider. We're provided for by his life. And that life is the life in the vine. Let's go over to Psalm 119, verse 25. Psalm 119, verse 25. Psalm 119, verse 25. It says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust." What's the next word say? "Quicken thou me according to thy word." I like that. "Quicken thou me according to thy word." And that word "quickened" means to live, sustain life. This is the Greek or the Hebrew. But it also means to be restored to life or health. "Quicken thou me according to thy word." That means to be restored to life or health. It means to be revived, to be quickened from sickness, from discouragement, from faintness, from death. We can be quickened by his word from sickness, from discouragement, from death. We can be quickened, how? By the word of God, which is life and health to our bodies. And when you look at the scriptures, this is a scripture we're familiar with, 1 John 3:8, it says, "For this purpose," what was the purpose that Jesus came for? It was to destroy the works of the devil. And they were destroyed. So that means he's given us all dominion, all authority, in his name, over the devil. So we have it. And it's the same thing. You know, if I said to you here, "I've got $1,000, here, take it," and you'd be whining, "I really need that money. Can I have that money?" I said, "Take it." And you're whining, "I need that money. I'm hungry. I'm broke. I need that money. Take the money." They're not taking it. They're not receiving it. They're not appropriating. And a lot of us sometimes we're whining and complaining, "God, please, I need help. Help me." And he said, "So, ask me. Believe me in faith. Take it by faith. And walk," what is faith? Believing even though we don't see it. Believing that we receive something when we don't see it. Our faith is the substance of things hoped for. Our faith is the evidence of something that we don't see. So when we believe God for something, he said, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and I will do it." So for us to begin to question and whine, and we're walking by sight and not by faith. And especially when it comes to the area of healing. How do you know when you release your words and speak to your body to be restored, how do you know it's not changing? How do you know? Could you have a little pain? But something didn't change? How do you know it's not changing? So you don't know. Jesus spoke to the fig tree and it dried up from the roots. But they walked away and then they marveled at it the next day. His disciples did. See, so when we speak to something in faith, it's done. It is done. Faith, when something is spoken in faith, when it's the God kind of faith, see, one thing you're going to always remember this. God thrives in an atmosphere of love. He thrives in that atmosphere. He moves and has ability to move in an atmosphere of love. But in an atmosphere of fear, the devil thrives in that. He thrives in an atmosphere of strife and fear. So if you're in fear, you're not in faith. You can't be. If you're fearful and you say, well, I believe God, but, and I'm not sure, you're not in faith. Faith counts something as done. Let's turn over to Psalm 91. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High might abide. It says, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I might answer him. No, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And now what does verse 16 say? With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Long life, long life. He said, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. When you look at verse 16, the New Century Version says, I will give them a long, full life, and they will see how I can save. God's Word translation says, I will satisfy you with a long life. I will show you how I will save. The contemporary English version says, you will live a long life. You will live a long life and see my saving power. Now, at the very beginning of that psalm, it says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Now, that word trust means to be confident, to be bold, and it also means to be secure. See? So if it says, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I be secure. So you can see here, now we're in Psalm 91. look over in Psalm 90. We're talking about, I'm going to switch gears here, we're talking about a long life. And one way to have a long life is first you need to know what the will of God is for that so you can have faith for it, but also staying connected to the vine is crucial. But when you look at Psalm 90, and look at starting in verse 4. It says, "For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night." Now, this King James sometimes, it says, "For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday." So you can see here and all through the scriptures, God refers to a millennium as a day in his time. He said 1,000 years is as a day. So that's really what he's saying here. "For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past and as a watch in the night." Now listen, "Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth." Look at verse 7. "For we are consumed by thine" what? "Anger." That's if you keep that in mind. "For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in the wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." Now, let's read verse 10. "The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." Let me ask a question. Does this account of the Israelites who are perishing in the wilderness, does this sound like God's best for them? No. It doesn't sound like God's best, and it sounds like they got over into trouble here, didn't they? And God has determined something upon them. And what was it? 70 years. He cut their life short. Because what? They got over into disobedience. And it says, in his anger. So, this is not God's best. And actually, you can confirm this. Let's go over to the book of Numbers for a second. Numbers chapter 14. And you can see pretty much the same thing that it's referring to. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 28 through 35. It says, and starting in verse 28, "Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from" what? "From 20 years old and upwards." Keep that in mind. From 20 years old and upward, "which have murmured against me. Doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save" or "except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun." Just those two are going to go into the land, the promised land. "But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, And your children shall wander in the wilderness, how many years? 40 years. And bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which you searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years. And you shall know my breach of promise, or my margin says revoking of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil, what evil congregation, that they are gathered together against me in this wilderness, they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. Now, how many years were they going to wander in the wilderness? 40. What was the youngest of this group that he was referring to? 20. How much is 20 and 40? 60. And up. That's your 70. When he said in Psalm 90, and he's referring that you shall, your years shall be 70, if by reason of strength, 80 years. That's what he's talking about right here. That's the reference. But what did he call them? He said to them, this evil congregation. That's not God's best. We are not the evil body. We were bought with a price, and we are engrafted into the vine. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And looking and starting at verse 3, it says, And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Who's speaking here? God is speaking. And what does he say? Yet his days shall be how much? 120 years. The New Living Translation says, Then the Lord said, My spirit will not put up with humans for such a long time, for they are only mortal flesh. In the future, they will live no more than 120 years. That has never been changed. You know how we have software and apps for our phones and all of that? We get updates, revisions. There has never been an update or a revision to that 120 years. God spoke it, and he's never changed it. So we can live to a maximum of 120 years of age. Now, why don't we? Well, there's a whole lot of reasons. There's a whole lot of reasons. And that's not today's lesson, but here's the point. That when you stay connected to the vine, and the life of God begins to fill this body and fill me, I can be quickened with his life. And what does it say? Quicken me thou with thy word. I can be quickened by the Spirit of God through the Word of God and by his word, and I can begin to grow in grace and grow in wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I can begin to know how to live and have faith to live to be 120. See, the problem is we've been brainwashed by the world and the world system. The world system is, well, you know, you work till you're 60-something and then you retire. Because you're old now, you know, you can't do as much. You're slow now, you're tired, you're wasted, you're wore out. Says who? Joshua said in his 80s, I'm just as strong now as I was when I was 40. See, so we can live to 120, and most of us, it's like, 120? Whew, You kidding me? 120. I can't even think that far out. I can't picture it. You can't picture it because you don't hear and see people living to 120. So you can't even imagine living to 120 because most people you know, they did by the time they get into their 60s. And now it's getting younger and younger and younger. You can't think that big. See, it's like saying every one of you could be a millionaire. And you go, million? You can't get the M out. You're stuck on the M. Because you can't think, you can't see it. So when you can't see it, you can't believe for it. But God says, He said, if you'll work, He said this to me, if you'll work the word in the area of finances, like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. He's not troubled with the word million. He's not troubled with finances. He's not troubled with prosperity. It's like saying, well, I have to be, you know, I mean, we just have to suffer with sickness. See, there's people who think that way. There's people who can't grasp that Jesus came here to die, Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. So what am I bearing them for? There's no purpose in it. And it's the same thing. The devil has tried to, when you think about this, I was thinking about this the other day. Since the Lord spoke to Brother Hagin and said that the spirit, that he said, spiritual darkness in over this world is that which controls everyone that's not saved. Well, what does that operate through? Television, printed, everything. Unsaved people. And they voice darkness. They voice death. And we buy it. We listen to it. Yep, you're right. I don't move as fast as I used to anymore, you know. So I'm going to retire, go down south, or get me a nice little cabana down in the islands and just kick back and just relax. And you become unproductive for God. And not only that, think about this. The wisdom and all that God has invested in you, you separate yourself from the young people. And all of the wisdom, all of the knowledge, all that you've gained gets what? Divided and separated. Because now you're tired and you're going to retire. And you're going to hang out with just old people in a retirement home meant for people over 55. They don't need your wisdom. The young people do. The young people are the ones bumping around. They're the ones that need your help. But you see, we've bought into a whole lot of things that the Word of God, the wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him will change how we view things. We're going to begin to see things like God sees them. We're going to begin to know like He knows. And so we're going to change our thinking about how long is long? How long is long life? Well, He already said 120. That is a long life. And we can live a long life. And there are reasons why we don't. We short-circuit it for a lot of things because we don't operate in the wisdom of God. These are some statistics. I like numbers. These are statistics just from the normal census that's taken. This is United States and worldwide. These are centenarians. These are people that reached 100. So when we start talking about, well, you know, I don't know, 100's a long time. Really? In 1950, this is the United States, in 1950, there were 2,300 centenarians. In 1990, there were 37,000. So just 40 years, big increase. In 2010, 54,000. And so it's been slowly increasing over time. And this is some statistics here. And this is recent, in 2010 now. It says 1 in 6,000 reached their 100th birthday. 1 in 6,000. This is in the United States. 50 years ago, only 1 in 67,000 reached 100. So it's doable, it's reachable. And here's one thing that we need to keep in mind. God's word, just like I have faith for salvation, faith for healing, faith for prosperity, I can have faith to live to 120 because God said so. And once he's spoken his will, I can have faith for that and I can say, I will live to 120. And it's God's responsibility to show me how. How to live to 120 so that I can do what? Be productive, bear fruit in the body of Christ. That's the point, to bear fruit. It said here that in 2010, the census showed a strong increase in the number of people aged 90 to 94. It was up 30%. Those aged 95 to 99, it was up 30%. And it talks about that. Now, those who are super centenarians, those are people that live over 110 or 100. I believe it's over 110 are super centenarians. It said as of 2011, there were 83. Now, centenarians in the world, now we're talking about the world now, it said the number of centenarians that were in the world in 1950 were just a few thousand. And now there's more than 340,000 worldwide today, people that have lived 200 years of age. And said right now the highest concentrations of centenarians are in the United States and Japan. That is the highest concentration of centenarians. And it said in the United States, above 10%, these are states now, above 10% of all centenarians live in California. The next most populous state for centenarians is New York and Florida. I can't answer that. That's just what the census says. Don't ask me those questions. Internationally, the countries most likely to have large populations of centenarians are the United States, Canada, England, France, Japan, and Sweden. So super centenarians, these are people over 110. As of 2000, I said there were 83. Those are people living beyond 110. And it is documented two people lived more than 120 years. So you can live 120. This is documented, certified, as they say. One of them was a woman. She died in 1997. Her name was Louise Calment. She was Jean-Louise Calment. She was from France. She died. She was age 120 years of age and 166 days. So she was almost 122 and a half. When you read about her lifestyle, it was a very interesting lifestyle. I wouldn't advocate it, but you can go online and read it. It's a very interesting lifestyle. Well, she smoked until she was 117 years of age. That's why I said I wouldn't advocate it. She smoked until she was 117, and she ate 2 pounds of chocolate a week. So much for a healthy diet. But it also said she rode her bicycle every day. She rode her bicycle until she was 114. She rode her bicycle. She fenced in her 80s and up into her 90s. She was very active. So, you know, I'm not advocating that lifestyle, but... But yes, you like the bicycle riding, right? And the eating chocolate, I'm sure, right? The smoking, you'll get rid of that, right? I understand. Okay. Yeah, broccoli and spinach, right? Right. There you go. But anyways, the point is that you can reach, and all of these things that scientists are saying, you know, and this is the thing that you can't buy into some things where they're saying, well, you know, if you got that special gene, you can live to 120. Wrong. I got the Word of God and faith in God's Word that quickens me to live a healthy life and to live to 120. Now, I may make some choices that may short circuit that, but you can live to 120. That's God's will. Now, go over to Ecclesiastes. This may answer some things here. Ecclesiastes. Chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And verse 17 says, be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? So see, one can be wicked or foolish and die before their time. You understand what I mean? That's what the scripture is saying here. One could be wicked or foolish in their choices, and you could die before your time. Could. Huh? Prematurely. Yes, absolutely. Go to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. In verse 23. Psalm 55:23 says, be thou, O God, but thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. What does it say? Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. See, so there can be, you know, choices made, lifestyle choices made. Let's look at a few other scriptures here. Hebrews, I'm going to look at just a few more. Hebrews chapter 9. We've heard this particular scripture. Hebrews chapter 9. See, when challenges come in life, and they're going to come, but we all have a choice to make, and choices to make. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And it says, and as it is appointed unto men, what? Once to die, but after this the judgment. It doesn't say, and it is appointed unto man a time to die. You know how people, you hear it. People say, well, you know, when it's your time to go, you know, you hear that. I'm going to walk down this road right in front of this Mack truck because, you know, it's not my time. So I can just... I'm going to have this big plate of food here and just eat whatever I want, when I want, how I want, because it's not my time, you know. Because when it's my time, I'm going to go, you know. It's foolish. The Bible says there's an appointed unto man once to die. Once to die, right? Now, it doesn't say time. Now, let's go back to Ecclesiastes again. Ecclesiastes and chapter 3, and let's look at verse 1 and 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2. And you know, people throw those things out because they've heard them in church so long, it's like they make it the Bible. And it's not scriptural. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 2, it says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. So you can see here there's a season and the time. Now, let's back up to Job. Back up to Job, and let's look at chapter 5. Job chapter 5 and verse 26. Job 5:26. There's a season. And you're familiar with this scripture verse? Job 5:26. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a what? In a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. That's what Job 5:26 says. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a what? In a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Now listen to the New Living Translation. It says, you will live to a good old age. What's an old age? 120. You will not be harvested until the proper time. That's what the New Living Translation says. The New Century Version says, you will come to the grave with all your strength. I like that. This is the New Century Version of Job 5:26. You will come to the grave with all your strength, like bundles of grain gathered at the right time. See, there's a right time to go home with the Lord, with your full strength, not sick and diseased and wore out. But it says, like bundles of grain gathered at the right time. There's a time that you've done everything that you are supposed to do, that you've harvested, that you've planted seed, that you've reaped harvests. And it's like a bundle of grain. So there's a right time to go home. 20 and 50 and 60 is not the right time. It's not the right time. 70's not the right time. 80's not the right time. 90's not the right time. 100 is not the right time. See, we have to change our thinking. We've got to change it so that we're hearing from heaven what's the right time, not from AARP. Who likes to market everything. Yeah, they want you to retire at 50. Right. It's ungodly. You see. Right. Yeah. But you understand we need to change our thinking and have it transformed so that we can be productive, because otherwise what we're doing is we're taking bait. We're taking ungodly thinking, and it's being pushed through by all kinds of streams of information that we have access to now. And we're just saying, yep, gulp, yep, yeah, you know, That's it. I'm ready to retire. Why? Why? I'm ready to be. You know, one of the things I know. Well, there was a word that Sister Gladys had up here one year. Was it this year or last year? The Spirit of God was moving on her, and she said, "I hear these words. Don't nurse it. Don't rehearse it. Disperse it, and I'll reverse it." See, some of us are rehearsing stuff, and we're nursing stuff, and we're not dispersing stuff. We're nursing things. We're nursing, you know, I don't have a job. You're nursing it. You're nursing stuff and not walking in the provisions of God. He paid a price so that we could be what? Connected as a branch into the vine and have this life, life eternal, so that we can walk unhindered. Let's close with this scripture. Just coming to my thinking right now. It's in Galatians chapter 5, I believe. Let me just get over there. I know it's in Galatians 5, but there's some translations that I want to read. Galatians chapter 5. And it's verse 1. Why don't you read that while I'm finding this scripture? Yeah, I got it. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the what? In the liberty wherewith Christ has made me free," or made us free, "and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." That can be a whole lot of things. You could be entangled in the yoke of bondage of sickness. You can be entangled in the yoke of bondage of just anything. But this is what I like here. It's stand fast means, this is in the Strong's Greek, says to stand firm, to persevere, to persist, to keep one's standing. I like that. Keep your standing. Don't let it go. See, and how do you let it go? Listening to other voices. I'm not going to listen to that. This is the Good News translation. Freedom is what we have. Christ has set us free. Stand then as free people and do not allow yourselves to become slaves again. See, you can become a slave to the thoughts that are being perpetrated and you're not living free. The God's Word translation. Christ has freed us so that we may enjoy the benefits of freedom. I like that. We can enjoy the benefits of freedom. Therefore, be firm in this freedom and don't become slaves again. Be firm in the freedom that you have. I'm free from financial lack. I'm free from sickness and disease, and I'm not going to get entangled in the yoke of bondage. The Message translation, Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. And how can that happen? Listening to voices. Listening to things that are not godly. Yeah, it's a trap. Absolutely. It's a trap. For you to take some bait and go, yep, oh yeah. And most times it's when the pressure's on. When pressure is on. And pressure can be come in a lot of different packages. But something really looks good. You know, it's like, I want that dessert. I really want that. That's, that can be a bondage. It can be. But the point is, never again let anyone put a yoke of bondage on you again. Never allow thoughts to persist that I can't achieve this, I can't have this, I can't go here, I can't have this, because Christ has set me free. People have said, you can't go there. Why? You can't have this. You can't own this. You can't live there. Said who? I like Pastor Percy Joe. Pastor Percy and his family were members here for many years. They went back to Jonesboro, Louisiana. And again, because I wasn't raised in the South, and as you can tell, I'm not black, I didn't know some of the racial issues that were perpetrated. I didn't live through that. I didn't experience it. But as he shared, he grew up in the Deep South, and he lived through that, and some of it is still there. And he said there was no way they were going to let this black man have a black church on Main Street in Jonesboro, Louisiana. Guess what? He got himself a church right down on Main Street near the courthouse. So don't ever let somebody say, you can't do this, you can't do that. I'm sorry, but God has set us free. I don't care what nationality you are, what color you are, what ethnicity you are, what educational background you are, whether you're sitting behind bars in a jail and they say, you will never, ever get out. I'm sorry, but when God's in it, there is no limit. There's no limit when God's in it. See, don't ever let anybody put a yoke of bondage on you again. Ever. And especially where your health is concerned and your length of life here on this earth. Don't ever let some doctor tell you, well, you know, you can't live that age. It's impossible. Well, then, he just lied. See? But my God is a great God. My God is an awesome God. And my God is a healer and a provider and a protector. And he's holy. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Amen. Let's praise God. Amen. I'm gonna live to 120. If Jesus tarries, I'm gonna live to 120. But why not? Yeah. But God is looking for a people who will believe him and trust him. That's what he's looking for. Yeah. You can't do that. That's not possible. Well, praise God. Amen. Amen. Amen.